prophet who came, except that that prophet came along with some Hawariyun. Those Hawariyun were on the guidance of that prophet. And they were on the sunnah of that prophet. And they, after that, there came some people who were unlike them. They started to say what they didn't do. And they started to do what they were not ordered to do. They started to say those things that they didn't do. They made claims, they said things, and they didn't do. And they started to do things that they weren't ordered to do. Whoever makes jihad against them with his hand, he is a mu'min. And whoever makes jihad against them with his tongue, he is a mu'min. And whoever makes jihad against them with his head, with his heart, he is a mu'min. And everything other than that, whoever doesn't participate in these three types of jihad, there is not even a mustard seed or a mustard grain of iman in his heart after that. So the Sheikh went on to say, Ikhwan, this is a clear indication that the jihad is with your tongue and making the truth clear and in establishing that which is right. And also, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has ordered us to make jihad with the safe, with the equipment and the weapons to kill the kuffar. Allah said in the Quran, verily Allah has purchased from the believers their nafs and their money, because in replace of that they have received the Jannah. Verily Allah has purchased from the believers their persons as well as their money, and in replace or exchange for that, and verily they will have the what? They will have the Jannah. The Shaykh went on to say, for this reason, Ikhwan, al-Islam, this different type of levels of jihad and types of jihad, al-Islam has organized them in a proper order to show you that each one is connected to the other. If the person cannot make the proper jihad of himself and fight and establish al-Islam within himself, it is not conceivable that when we go down and we approach the place or the land, the space, the earth where the jihad is going to take place, it's not conceivable that its feet are going to be established when it's time to meet the enemy and the time of killing comes.
وجهاد الأعداء الذي تقدمت الإشارة إليه قسمان، أما أولهما فجهاد الدفع، الدفع المقصود به المدافعة، ويطلق عليه أهل العلم اسم دفع الصائل، أي الذي يصول على المسلمين ويغير عليهم في بلادهم. هذا الجهاد فرض عيني على كل مسلم، صغيرا كان أم كبيرا، رجلا كان أم امرأة، لا يشترط فيه إذن ولا ولاية، لأن المسلمين فيه يغزون في عقر دارهم، ولا بد لكل أحد أن يدافع فيه عن نفسه. والرسول عليه الصلاة والسلام يقول: من مات دون دينه فهو شهيد، ومن مات دون عرضه فهو شهيد، وهكذا. وأما النوع الثاني فهو جهاد الفتح الذي يغزو به المسلمون غيرهم من الكفار والمشركين، وغايتهم فيه أحد ثلاثة أشياء. أما أولها وأعظمها فهو الإسلام، أن يدخلوا في دين الله عز وجل وأن يكونوا من المسلمين. وأما ثانيها فهو الجزية، أن يدفعوا الجزية عن يد وهم صغرون، وإلا إن أبوا هذا وذاك فلا ثمة إلا السيف والسنان. هذا الجهاد، جهاد الفتح وجهاد الغزو، فرض كفاية إذا اكتملت ببعض الأمة فيه شروط الغزاة أو شروط الفاتحين كان ذلك مغنيا لبقيتها عن أن يكون فرضا عليها، وهو ما يعبر عليه الفقهاء بقولهم إذا قام به البعض سقط عن الباقين. ولكن هذا الجهاد إذ هو من فروض الكفايات فلا بد فيه من الإذن، من الاستئذان للولي أو الوالد وما شابه ذلك، ولا بد فيه أيضا من أن يكون فيه الإمام والراية، الإمام المسلم والراية المسلمة. أما الإمام فلقوله عليه الصلاة والسلام الإمام جنة، أي وقاية وحماية، يقاتل به أي بهذا الإمام من وراه أي من المسلمين. وإذا استنفرتم فانفروا، إذا طلبت منكم، إذا طلب منكم أن تقوموا في النفرة في سبيل الله مقاومة لأعداء الله فانفروا، كما ذكرنا في الآية السابقة يا أيها الذين آمنوا ما لكم إذا قيل لكم انفروا في سبيل الله استاقلتم من الأرض. فلا يكون هذا الجهاد إلا باستنفار الإمام المسلم الذي هو جنة يستجن بها من وراءه من المسلمين. وأما الراية فلقوله عليه الصلاة والسلام من قاتل تحت راية عمية، عمية أي غائبة وغائمة وغير واضحة، من قاتل تحت راية أو عمية أو عصبية أو جاهلية فمات كانت ميتته جاهلية. فهذا فيه لزوم الإمام، وفيه لزوم وضوح الصورة والراية لهذه الفئة المقاتلة في سبيل الله. وإذا تأمل المسلمون اليوم بل منذ 1000 يوم وقائع الجهاد وصور الجهاد المعاصرة التي خلت من الراية والتي خلت من الإمام الذي هو جهاد الدفع الفتحي وجهاد الغدر، يرى أنها لم توصل المسلمين إلا إلى شر، ولم تصلهم إلا بفساد، ظن أنه جهاد وليس هو من الجهاد في شيء. ومع ذلك فإن رحمة الله سبحانه وتعالى واسعة، فإننا لا نحكم على هؤلاء بأنهم ماتوا ميتة جاهلية أو أنهم لا يريدون الجهاد أو أنهم ماتوا في سبيل كذا وكذا، ولكننا نكل أمرهم إلى خالقهم الذي يعلم ما تخفي الأنفس، ما تبدي الأنفس وما تخفي الصدور، والله الموفق للصواب.
Now the Sheikh went on to say, brothers, that this jihad against these enemies of Al-Islam, which has already passed and we've explained it, they said, the Sheikh said that the scholars of Al-Islam, that it is of two types, this type of jihad against the enemies of Al-Islam. The first type of jihad against the enemies of Islam is the jihad that he called jihad al-dafa, the jihad of repelling the enemy. And some of the scholars also termed this same jihad called, and they called it jihad daf al-sa'i, as sa'i. The Sheikh went on to say, what does that mean? This is the protection or the repelling of the kuffar who are about to enter into the land of the Muslims. They are at the door of the Muslims, and they have come in order to invade the land of the Muslims. He said that this type of jihad is fardu ain, that it is obligatory upon every single Muslim to do what he can and to play a role and to play his part in preventing this from taking place. whether he is old or young, whether it is a woman or a man, and the person wants to participate in this type of jihad, he does not need the permission of anyone to participate, nor does he need any imam to be in place. The Sheikh went on to say, when these people come to the land of the Muslim, it is incumbent upon everyone in that land from amongst the Muslims to do his job in order to repel these people. The proof of that is that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, whoever dies while trying to protect his religion, he is a shaheed. And whoever dies while trying to protect his honor, he is a shaheed, and so forth and so on. So this hadith tells us that if the man was to protect his land, if some threat came to his land, he is obligated to protect it. The second type of jihad against the kuffar is what is known as jihad al-fath, the jihad in which the Muslims are the aggressors, and they are the ones who are putting themselves forth in order to advance upon the disbelievers. And this jihad has three goals. The Sheikh only mentioned two of them. The first goal of this type of jihad, the Qur'an min jihad, he said that the first rule or the first goal of this type of jihad is that we desire for the people to accept al-Islam. So we want these people to enter into the religion of al-Islam, so we make jihad against them in order to introduce to them the religion. The second goal of this type of jihad, and this type of jihad is what? The offenses, the Muslims being the aggressors and not the Muslims protecting themselves. The jihad al-fath, the first goal of it is to make the people become Muslims. The second goal is the jizya, that we go and we advance upon these people and declare war against them with the desire of those people given the jizya, and yadin wahum saghirun, and they are lowly. They give the jizya and they have no power and they are lowly. And this is the jihad when they refuse to give us the jizya. If they refuse, this is when we raise the sword, when they refuse the jizya. And the third goal of the jihad, this type of jihad, the jihad of the offensive and the aggressive type of jihad, the goal of it is just to kill the people. The Sheikh went on to say that this type of jihad, the jihad of the aggression, is fard kifaya. And the fard kifaya, as the fuqaha of al-Islam have explained, it is that action which is obligatory upon everyone in the ummah. It's obligatory upon everyone. But if a group of people from amongst the ummah were to come and do it, then the obligation falls off of the shoulders of the rest of the people. So therefore, if a few people were to come forth and they were to participate in this type of jihad, which is fardu kifaya, and is the jihad of the aggressive movement of the Muslims, then it is not the responsibility, it is the blame or responsibility is raised off of the shoulders of those people who did not participate. So the Sheikh said this type of jihad, though, you have to have the permission of your parents, and you have to have a leader from amongst the Muslims who is in place. There is no jihad that is the jihad of making the aggression, except there is a leader from amongst the Muslims. And also you need the permission of your parents. You cannot go to that type of jihad and fight. You have to also have a flag or a group of people who you're fighting with from the Muslims. He went on to say the proof of that, the proof of the raya, the proof of the imam, the proof that you need an imam, is that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that the imam was what? A junnah. And the Jinnah means al-waqaya, al-himaya. He's the person like the shield. The Prophet ﷺ said that the Imam is the shield. The people fight behind this shield. So if this Imam says to you, go forth and fight, then go forth and fight. So here the ayah or the hadith establishes for us that there has to be an Imam. Also, the proof that there has to be an Imam is that Allah says, O you who believe, what is wrong with you when the call is made and you are ordered to go forth in the earth, you cling to the earth. This is istinfar, or this calling out, this order to go out is being done by the Imam. The Shaykh went on to say, as for the proof that there has to be the raya, there has to be a flag, not a physical flag, there has to be a flag or a group of people that you are fighting with, the Muslim body that you are fighting with. The proof of that is that the Prophet ﷺ said, whoever fights under the flag of blind following and the flag of al-afabiyya, just helping your jama'at, your crew, your family, your tribe, then he dies in that type of fight. He dies the death of a jahiliyyah. The Shaykh went on to say here that if the Imam and this flag or the group that's being fought with, if they're not in place, then this is not the proper jihad. So if we look at Juan, if we look at the condition of the Ummah today, or if we look back 1,000 days, we will find that the picture or the way that they're making jihad today, there is no Imam and there is no raya. He went on to say, this type of jihad will never lead them to anything other than that which is evil and to fasad. They think that they're making jihad, but in fact they're not making any jihad. So the Shaykh said, we do not. Allah is the most merciful, and we'll have mercy, because we do not say that whoever participates in this type of fight and he is killed, he dies the death of jahiliyyah, and we put them outside of Islam. But what we do say is that this is evil and the affair of theirs, they need to take, it is wrong, and they need to take a look at themselves and consider.
ولا شك أن موضوع الجهاد في سبيل الله تقود إلى مسألة العصر التي كثر الحديث حولها، وأصبحت حديث الساعة بين الشباب المسلم، ألا وهي مسألة الحكم بغير ما أنزل الله، ثم قول الله تبارك وتعالى، ومن لم يحكم بما أنزل الله فأولئك هم الكافرون. وأقول كثر الكلام حول هذه المسألة في هذا العصر وفي غيرها من العصور، من أناس خرجوا عن جماعة المسلمين وشدوا عن أسهام علماء الدين وانتكست دعوتهم، فوجهوا سهامهم وسيوفهم إلى رقاب المسلمين بعدما عجزوا في الحقيقة عن مصادمة أعداء الدين. وفي ذلك يصفهم الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم يقتلون أهل الإسلام ويدعون أهل الأوثان، ولكي يجدوا غطاء شرعيا لأعمالهم بدأوا يبحثون ويرددون أن الذين نقاتلهم هم كفار، يستدلون بهذه الآية وبغيرها من الآيات، ومن لم يحكم بما أنزل الله فأولئك هم الكافرون. ونقف وقفات مع هذه الآية فنقول أن هذه الآية بمنطوقها ومفهومها تفيد العموم
ولا تختص بفرد دون فرد من أفراد المجتمع، فإن من وما اللتين ورد ذكرهما في هذه الآية من ألفاظ العموم في معرض الشرط فأفادت العموم. ومعنى الآية على ذلك أن كل أحد لا يحكم بما أنزل الله فهو من الكافرين، سواء أكان حاكما أو محكوما أو غير ذلك. وهذا يعطينا عمق لفهم مسألة الحكم، وأنها لا تختص بالحاكم بل بكل مرء أو كل امرئ استرعاه الله تبارك وتعالى رعية، فينبغي عليه أن يحكم دين الله فيها وأن يقيم شرع الله فيها. ولذلك عمم الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم مسألة الحكم بما أنزل الله، وجعل كل إنسان راع قد استرعاه الله في رعية فينبغي عليه أن يحكم شرع الله فيها. ألا كلكم راع وكلكم مسؤول عن رعيته. وقول النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم المقسطون على منابر من نور يوم القيامة الذين يعدلون في أهليهم ومولوا، إذن العدل المطلوب في كل ولاية سواء كانت صغيرة أم كبيرة. ثم ننتقل إلى أقوال أهل التفسير في هذه الآية الكريمة، وهي تنقسم إلى خمسة أقوال لا خلاف بينها ولا تضارب فيما بينها ولا تعارض. القول الأول هو أن من حكم بغير ما أنزل الله جحودا فهو كافر، وإلا كان ظالما فاسقا. وهذا القول يروى عن عكرمة. والقول الثاني أنه كفر دون كفر، وظلم دون ظلم، وفسق دون فسق. وعلى رأس من قال بذلك حبر الأمة وترجمان القرآن وسادات التابعين من أمثال ابن عباس رضي الله عنه وطاووس وعطاء وغيرهم. القول الثالث أنها خاصة في بني إسرائيل، ويؤيد هذا أنها نزلت في بني إسرائيل بسبب بني إسرائيل. ولكن العلماء يقولون أن العبرة بعموم اللفظ لا بخصوص السبب. والقول الرابع أنها عامة، وروي ذلك عن حذيفة رضي الله عنه، فقد كان أبو مجلز عنده وذكر هذه الآية فقال إنها نزلت في بني إسرائيل، فقال حذيفة نعم الأخوة لكم لهم المر ولكم الحلو، مما يدل على أن من فعل فعالهم وصار على نهجهم وفعل كما يفعلون فأنكروا حكم الله جحودا واستحلالا فهو مثلهم. القول الخامس أن الكافرين في اليهود والظالمين في النصارى والمسلمين من لم يحكم بهم فساق. ولو رجعنا إلى هذه الأقوال لرأيناها لا اختلاف بينها، وأن الذي عليه السلف الصالح رضوان الله عليه هو أن الكفر المذكور في هذه الآية هو كفر دون كفر، وعلى رأس ذلك ابن عباس رضي الله عنه، ونقل الإجماع من الصحابة رضوان الله عليهم ابن القيم في مدارج السالكين وفي الصلاة وحكم تاركها، نقل إجماع الصحابة على أن الكفر هنا كفر دون كفر. وكذلك قاطبة أهل التفسير يقولون هذا القول أنه كفر دون كفر، ونقل أيضا الإجماع المأمون وهو خليفة المسلمين عندما أتي له ببعض الخوارج فقيل له ما الذي دعاك إلى الخروج علينا، قال ومن لم يحكم بما أنزل الله فأولئك هم الكافرون، قال وما يدريك أنها منزلة؟ قال الإجماع. قال فكما رضيت بحكمهم في التنزيل فارض بحكمهم في التأويل. فأدرك الخارجي أنه على غير جادة فقال السلام عليك يا أمير المؤمنين. نعم جميع أهل الملة وعلماء التنزيل على أن هذه الآية إنما هي كفر دون كفر. وقد نقل علماء السلف رضوان الله عليهم أن من قال أن هذه الآية إنما يراد بها الكفر الأكبر والكفر الاعتقادي إنما هم الخوارج، ولم ينقل عن عالم من علماء المسلمين أن هذا القول قوله، فقد نقل ذلك الآجري في الشريعة فقال وقد ذهبت الحرورية إلى الاستشهاد بالمتشابه من كتاب الله كقول الله تبارك وتعالى ومن لم يحكم بما أنزل الله فأولئك هم الكافرون. وذهب إلى ذلك ابن عبد البر في التمهيد، وذهب إلى ذلك الجفاف في تفسيره، وأبو حيان في البحر المحيط، وأبو يعلى في مسائل الإيمان وغيرهم، كلهم نصوا قولا واحدا على أن القول بأن الحكم بغير ما أنزل الله كفر بذاته مخرج من ملة الإسلام إنما هو رأي الخوارج الذين لا ينتسبون إلى أهل السنة ولا يلتقون مع السلف الصالح رضوان الله عليهم، وهذا رأيهم في كل عصر وكل مصر، وأن السلف براء من ذلك وإنما هم على فهم صحابة رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. هذا ما أردت التنبيه عليه حول هذه الآية، وإن كان هناك زيادة ولا شك أن هناك زيادة فسيكملها الأخ أبو الحارث حفظه الله وجزاكم الله خيرا.
For a question, can the brother move a light green Nissan Terry registration number C318YD8? Jazakumullah khairan.
The Sheikh, brothers and sisters, made his last point, and he went on to say that this issue that we're talking about, this issue naturally would lead us to another topic, and it is a topic or an issue that we hear during this time that many people are speaking about it and they're discussing it, and it is the issue of judging and ruling by other than that which Allah has revealed based upon the ayat in the Quran in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, and whoever does not judge by that which Allah has revealed, whoever doesn't judge by that which Allah revealed, verily they are the kafirun, or they are the disbelievers, because they didn't judge by what Allah revealed. The Sheikh went on to say that there are a group of people who have kharaju an jama'at al-muslimin. They have broken off and renegated and gone outside and away from the Muslim community or the Muslim jama'at. And they have become the people who have shaddu an al-ulama. The ulama are saying one thing and they're saying a totally different thing. So their statement is shad. Their statement is in contradiction to the scholar. And as a result of that, the affairs have, as the sheikh said in Aqasat Alayhim, the affairs have become backwards and upside down, and it has fallen upon them and other people as a problem. And how did it do this? What they did was their swords now and their statement and their fighting is against the Muslims now, when they themselves found themselves unable to do anything against these people they were saying when they weren't able to repel the efforts of the real disbelievers, the real kuffar, the Jews and the Christians. When they weren't able to deal with them and they know they're not able to deal with them, they turn around and they come to the Muslims, and now they want to make their swords unsheathe and they want to fight the Muslims. The Prophet ﷺ has clearly told us and warned us about these people when he said, and he described them and he said about them, they will fight the people of Al-Islam and they will leave the people of Al-Awthan. They will fight the Muslims, the people of Al-Islam, and they will leave the people who worship idols. The Sheikh went on to say, what these people do is they try to rationalize their actions by saying, we're not going to fight those kuffar, the real kuffar, the Jews and the Christians and the kuffar. They say, yeah, we're going to fight these people who are Muslims. We're fighting them because they're not really Muslims. They're kuffar. They don't rule by what Allah has revealed. The Sheikh said concerning this point and this issue, I want to mention a few things. We have some waqafat. We're going to stop and mention some things about this ayah. The first thing that yarhamakallah is that the ayah is general in its implications, in its mantuq and its mafhum. The implication of the ayah, what the ayah is implying, as well as what you understand from the ayah, is that the ayah is general. That the ayah, whoever does not judge, whoever does not judge by what Allah has revealed, then those people are the kuffar. This statement in this ayah is not specific for any particular person, but it is a general statement applying to anyone who fits the description of not judging by what Allah revealed. So the ayah is telling the people that every single person, he has to make it his business to judge by what Allah has revealed and to make himself subservient to what Allah has revealed. So this statement, whoever, includes the ruler and those who the ruler is ruling, and everyone other than them. He went on to say, this statement of mine will give you what the ayah is all about. And that is that every single person is obliged to establish Al-Islam to the best of his ability, and not just certain people. And this is why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he also generalized in so many examples by showing us that the legislation is upon everybody in general and not upon any single person specifically. When he said in the authentic hadith, verily all of you are responsible and all of you will be held for his responsibility. Another way that we can translate that is the literal way. When he said, verily all of you are shepherds and you will be responsible for your sheep. In another hadith, the Prophet ﷺ said, verily the muqsitun, those people who are just in their rules and their judgment, those people who are just, a general statement, those people who are just will be our members made out of light, yawm al-qiyamah, because of the justice that they used to establish with their families. So with that being the case, ikhwan, the people have given us the tafsir of this ayah, the explanation of this ayah. They have given us five different meanings to this ayah. Which ayah? Whoever doesn't judge by what Allah has revealed, those are the kuffar, the disbelievers. The people who explained this ayah in the Quran, they gave the tafsir, they gave five different possible meanings of this ayah, and those five different meanings are not contrary to each other. They are not contrary, but instead, they can go along with one another. The first meaning, that this means whoever sees a ruling that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed in the Qur'an and the Sunnah, and he makes the juhud, he intentionally fights against it, and he says, nope, I'm not going to accept that. He says, for an example, you don't have to pray. Prayer is a ruling in Al-Islam. So this man says, no, you don't have to pray. I'm not praying. You don't have to. It's not a part of Islam. This is juhud. They said that the ayat means that. That if the person makes the juhud, then he is a kafir. Amakallah. But if a person, some ruling comes to him, like prayer or something, but he doesn't do it because he's tired or lazy or he just doesn't want to do it, but he believes it's the truth and it's proper, then this person is not a kafir, but he is oppressive, a zalim, and he is fasiq, an evildoer. This statement is the statement of the companion or the tabi'i whose name is Ikrimah. The second meaning that the scholars have given to this ayat is the meaning of it, whoever does not judge by what Allah has revealed, those people are the kuffar. The meaning of kuffar here or kufr here is kufr dun kufr. It's disbelief, but not the disbelief that throws you outside of the realm of Al-Islam. Not to judge by what Allah revealed is disbelief, but it is not the disbelief that throws you outside of the realm of Al-Islam. Yahamakallah. And similar to it are the other two ayats. Whoever does not judge by what Allah revealed is kufr, that is less than the kufr that throws you outside of Islam. And this is the statement of the tarjiman of the Quran and the hibr of the ummah, the scholar of the ummah, as well as the interpreter of the Quran, Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu, as well as the companion of the tabi'in, Ta'us and Afa. Ta'us and Afa. The third opinion is that this ayat is specifically talking about the Jews of Bani Israel. Whoever doesn't judge by what Allah has revealed is talking about the Jews, because the ayat was revealed because of them. But the ulama of Al-Islam say, no, this is not an opinion we can accept, because of the principle that says that the ibr is with the amum and love, that the benefit of the rules of Al-Islam, the benefit of why this ayat was revealed, the benefit of why the Prophet said this, the benefit is not because of the specific reason why this thing was said or done, but it's because of the general statement. Fourth thing is that the scholars said that this ayah is general, it's applicable to everyone. And this is the statement and the opinion of the companion Hudhayfa, radiallahu ta'ala anhu. When this ayat was read in the presence of Hudhayfa, someone said to him, this is talking about the Jews. Hudhayfa said to him, the Jews are good brothers to you, because they will get the mur, or that which is sour, and you will get that which is hur. You will get that which is hot. Meaning, what happened to them, you can learn from that situation. And the fifth and final example is, or statement or meaning is, that this ayah is pertaining to the Jews. Whoever does not judge by that which Allah revealed, it is talking about the Jews, and it is talking about the Christians and the evil ones from amongst the Muslims. So what the majority of the scholars say, Ikhwan, from those five statements is that the ayat is talking about the kufr that isn't really kufr. It is kufr, but it's not the disbelief that takes you outside of the ummah. And Al-Imam Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala, he has said that there is ijma'. Ibn Qayyim radiallahu wa rahimahullahu ta'ala, he said that there is ijma' or consensus from the people of the past that the meaning of this ayat is kufr, that doesn't take you outside of Islam. And he wrote that statement in his book Madaris al-Salikin when he talked about the ruling of leaving off salah. And also when we look at the books of tafsir, this is the statement of Ibn Qayyim that it's ijma', consensus. And also when we look at all of the people who wrote the tafsir books, all of them say that the meaning of this is the kufr that does not take you outside of Islam. And there was even an ijma' that was supported by the Khalifa whose name is Ma'mun, the one who was persecuting the people. One time, Ma'mun, afallahu anhu wa anna, he was approached and he said to those people from the Khawarij who left and went outside of his rule, he said to them, why have you people rebelled against me and renegated? They said to him, because of the ayat, whoever doesn't judge by what Allah has revealed, verily they are the kuffar. So they were saying that you are not Muslim, Ma'mun. So Ma'mun said, how do you understand that? When the people who were revealed, it was revealed to, didn't understand it like that. You believe that it was revealed to the companions, but you want to understand it other than the way that they understand it, understood it. So that person who was from the Khawarij, when he noticed this argument of Ma'mun, how did he get this ayat? He got this ayat because the companions preserved it for him. So he believes in the ayat. He wants to use the ayat. So Ma'mun is saying, you believe in the ayat from the ones who gave it to you, but now you don't want to follow their explanation of it. So that person who was from the Khawarij, upon seeing that, he left what he was doing and he came back to the Jama'ah. The Shaykh went on to say that the scholars of the Salaf, the ulama of the Salaf, all of them say that whoever says this ayat means that you are kafir outside of Islam, and they do not make the distinction, saying that it's in the aqidah, anyone who's using it just to put anyone outside of Islam, they know that that person is on the way of the Khawarij. And none of the major scholars, none of the ulama of the past, not one of them has ever said that the one who doesn't judge by what Allah has revealed is a kafir automatically, just like that. And so the Shaykh went on to give some examples. And the first example that he gave was al-Imam al-Ajuri. In his book al-Sharia, he made this statement and he said that those people who want to take this ayat, they want to take it from the mutashabiha, those ayats that are not clear, and they are from the people who like the Khawarij. Also, the famous Imam, al-Imam ibn Abdul Barr, rahimahullahu ta'ala, in his book al-Tamheed, which is the explanation of the book of al-Imam Malik, rahimahullah, he also said the same thing. And also al-Imam al-Jassaf, in his book, which he gave the tafsir, and the ahkam of the Qur'an, he said in this book of tafsir, that these people who say that, they are out, and they are like the Khawarij. Also Abu Hiyan, in his book, he also said the same thing. Also Abu Ya'la in his book Masail al-Iman. In this book Abu Ya'la rahmatullahi ala ulama al-Islam jami'a, he said that whoever uses this ayat to put people outside of al-Islam, all of them are on the characteristics of the Khawarij. And this is what I wanted to say now. And if there's any addition that's going to be said, or if there's anything that there's going to be a reply, which I'm sure there is going to be, then we'll deal with it later. Now my brother, the Sheikh is going to give his last words, inshallah. Yes, Sheikh.
أختم أيها الإخوة أو نختم هذا المجلس المبارك إن شاء الله الذي نسأل الله سبحانه وتعالى أن يجعله نورا وضياء في عيون وعقول أهل السنة،
آمين،
وشجا وشوكا في حلوق أهل البدع،
آمين.
فأقول عندي ختاما أربع نقاط. أما النقطة الأولى فأشير إليها بأن هذه المسألة خطيرة جدا، أعني مسألة الحكم بغير ما أنزل الله، وأن فاعلها والمتلبس بها متردد حاله بين الكفر والظلم والفسق عياذا بالله تعالى، وأننا إذ نتكلم في هذه المسألة ونركز حولها لا نفعل ذلك دفاعا عن طاغوت أو مجادلة عن ظالم أو تبريرا لفعل فاسق أو تسويغا لجريمة فاجر، وإنما نعمل ذلك لشيئين اثنين. أما الأول بيانا للحق ووضعا له في موضعه اللائق به دون تجاوز قدره، أما الأمر الثاني فلما أنشأت أو فلما أنشأ الانحراف في هذه المسألة من ويلات وشرور ومصائب دهمت الأمة في عقر دارها وأرجعتها إلى الوراء عقودا إن لم نقل قرونا إلا أن يتغمدها الله برحمته. فمن فهم هذا وأيقن به واطمأن به عرف الحق وعرف أهله، ومن لا فلا يسعنا إلا أن ندعو الله له بالهداية فإن كان مستحقها، وإلا فالله يأخذه أخذ عزيز مقتدر. أما النقطة الثانية فإني أسوق فيها كلمة الإمام ابن القيم رحمه الله في كتابه الروح لما قال الحكم ثلاثة أقسام، أما أولها فهو الحكم المنزل وهو حكم الله ورسوله، فهذا كله صواب لا يقبل الشك ولا الخطأ. ثانيها الحكم المؤول وهو حكم الأئمة والمجتهدين، فمنه الخطأ ومنه الصواب، للمخطئ فيه أجر وللمصيب فيه أجران. وأما الثالث فهو الحكم المبدل وهو الحكم بغير ما أنزل الله، فمنه الكفر ومنه الظلم ومنه الفسق. فلو كان ذلك على وجه واحد لما كان مثل هذا التأصيل ومثل هذا التفصيل من هذا الإمام السلفي الأصيل. أما النقطة الثالثة فما أجمل كلمة الإمام أبي حاتم الرازي وهو من كبار أئمة السنة والحديث، حيث قال إن من علامة أهل البدع الوقيعة في أهل الأثر، فإننا لنعلم أن أناسا كثيرين ستحمر أنوفهم لهذا الحق الظاهر البين، وسوف يجدون الشيطان يؤزهم أزا كما قد فعل من قبل ويفعل الآن وسيفعل إلا أن يتوبوا، سيقولون هؤلاء مرجئة، سيقولون هؤلاء يدافعون عن الحكام، سيقولون هؤلاء كذا وكذا، ونحن نعلم الحق ونعلم من أنفسنا أننا الحق، ويكفي أننا ولله الحمد لا نخرج عن كلام أئمة السلف الصالحين الماضين ولا نجاوز كلام أئمة العلم الحاضرين المعاصرين، بينما هم كل واحد منهم مهما كان صغير العلم قليل الفهم شحيح الذهن فإنه إمام بنفسه، ينظر ويؤصل ويكفر ويضلل، يحكم على هذا بهذا ويحكم على ذاك بغيره، هكذا من غير هدى ولا ورع. ووالله لو حققتهم في معنى الإرجاء وضوابطه واشتقاقه وأصوله وأنواعه وفصوله وأي شيء منه لما عرفوا ولا احتاروا وماروا وضلوا وأضلوا وما سبب ذلك إلا فساد ما هم عليه من أصل الاعتقاد والنظر والعياذ بالله. وهذا يجعلنا ننبه إلى نقطة أخرى، وهي أن هؤلاء في طعنهم وغمزهم وجرحهم إنما يتكلمون من برج عاجي. ومن عجب أنهم غالبا أن أغلبهم إنما يتكلمون ذلك في ديار الكفار وفي بلاد الكفار، حيث يتنعمون بأموالهم ويتغذون من أطعمتهم ويتلذذون بمساربهم، ثم يريدون رفع علم الجهاد، ثم يريدون إقامة الحجة على العباد. أنا أصف هؤلاء بأنهم فارون من الزحف، فليتوبوا إلى الله وليرجعوا إلى الساحة الحقيقية التي فيها الجهاد الحقيقي. أما أن يكونوا ها هنا فإن كلامهم هذا كله لن يكون إلا حبرا على ورق، لن يكون فيه بركة ولن يكون فيه خير ولن يكون فيه ثمرة، لذلك سيموتون وهم أحياء كما مات من قبلهم وهم أموات. أما النقطة الرابعة الأخيرة فإنني أعلم أن لهؤلاء شبها وأن لهم إشكالات قد يضعونها في أذهان بعض الشباب الضعفاء في العلم الضعفاء في المعرفة والفقه، فإذا بهم ينفرون منهم ولو بشبهة ولو بإشكال. وهذه الشبهات بحمد الله كلها معروفة، من أهمها ثلاثة قضايا أو ثلاث قضايا. القضية الأولى بعض النقول التي ينقلونها عن الإمام ابن كثير والشيخ محمد بن إبراهيم ومحمود شاكر وأحمد شاكر وكذلك الشيخ ابن عثيمين والشيخ ابن باز، وهؤلاء لو أنهم جمعوا كلام هؤلاء العلماء وأتقنوا فهمه لعرفوا أن هؤلاء جميعا لا يخرج كلامهم عن شيئين. أما الأول أن كلامهم موجه إلى الفعل من حيث هو فعل، لا إلى أن من تلبس بهذا الفعل فهو مبني عليه الوصف بالكفر أو قائم عليه الوصف بالكفر. هذا هو الأمر الأول. أما الأمر الثاني فإن كلام هؤلاء العلماء جميعا إنما يتكلم عن قضايا تفصيل الشرائع المخالفة لأمر الله على شريعة الله، وهذا ملحظ اعتقادي قد غفل عنه هؤلاء في غمرة انشغالهم بإقامة دولة الإسلام سواء في بريطانيا أو في فرنسا أو هنا وهناك. النقطة أما الأمر الثاني فهو شبهة الاستبدال أو التبديل، وهذه في الحقيقة شبهة واهية باردة جدا، لو تأملوا فيها لعرفوا أن كل عاص هو مستبدل، فالذي شرب الشراب المباح الحلال فإنه قد أقام شرع الله، ومن استبدله بالخمر والسم فإنه قد حكم بغير شرع الله. فهل يكون كل عاص مستبدلا وكل مستبدل كافرا؟ إن هؤلاء يقولون وهم لا يعلمون أنهم بما هم عليه إنهم إلا سائرون على ما سار عليه أفراح ذي الخويصرة التميمي. أما النقطة الثالثة فهي مسألة التقنين، فقالوا بأن هنالك فرقا بين المعصية وبين تقنين المعصية. ولو عرف هؤلاء تاريخ سلاطين المسلمين منذ عهد معاوية رضي الله عنه إلى الآن وكيف أن الخلافة قد صارت إرثا وقننت كذلك لرجعوا عن قولهم إن كانوا يعقلون وإن كانوا يعرفون، لكنهم لا أظنهم كذلك، وإن كانوا كذلك فالأمر حينئذ ليس له من دون الله عز وجل كاشفة. أما هذه الكلمات التي يطيرونها هنا وهناك فإنها كلمات هوجاء صماء بكماء ليس لها خصام ولا زمام. وإنني لا أعلم أن بعض منهم قد يستدل برسالة الشيخ محمد بن إبراهيم رحمه الله تعالى المسمى بتحكيم القوانين، ولو أنه عرف كلامه الآخر الذي وضعه في 6 مواضع من كتاب الفتاوى كله على وجه التفصيل في هذه المسألة والتفصيل لرجع إن كان من الذين يرجعون إلى الحق، لكن هؤلاء أهل البدع قل منهم من يرجع إلى الحق إلا أن يشاء الله تبارك وتعالى. ولقد سئل الشيخ عبد العزيز بن باز حفظه الله تعالى وجعله نورا لأهل السنة ونارا على أهل البدع وعلماءنا وعلماء المسلمين، أنه قيل له ما رأيك في من يستدل بكلام الشيخ محمد إبراهيم في مسألة التكفير؟ فقال: محمد بن إبراهيم بشر، وابن تيمية بشر، وابن كثير بشر، وكلنا بشر، والحق إنما يعرف بدلائله لا بقائله. فهؤلاء يأخذون ما يشاءون عندما يكون لهم، ويتركون ما يشاءون عندما يكون عليهم، وهاهنا بحق لا بتلبيس، وبصدق لا بتدليس، تأتي كلمة الإمام الجليل التي رواها الإمام الدارقطني في سننه، كلمة الإمام وكيع بن الجراح الرواتي: أهل الحق يقولون ما لهم وما عليهم، وأهل الأهواء والبدع لا يقولون إلا الذي لهم ويكتمون الذي عليهم. والأمر كثير وكبير وطويل، هذه نخبة منه ونفحة منه، هي إن شاء الله كفاية لمن يريد الحق ولمن يبتغي الحق. أما من لا يفكر بعقله وإنما يفكر بحماسه، أما من لا ينظر بعينيه إنما ينظر بعاطفته، فلن يفيده كلامنا كله ولو زدناه أضعافا مضاعفة، لن ينفعه ما نقول ولن ينفعه ما يقول كبراؤنا من قبل ومن بعد. فلذلك فليكثر من الدعاء وليكثر من التضرع والانتهال حتى يهديه الله عز وجل إلى سواء السبيل. نسأل الله سبحانه وتعالى أن يثبتنا وإياكم على الحق المبين، وأن يجعلنا من أهله والداعين إليه والدافين عنه، إنه سميع مجيب. وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين.
أو الشيخ أبو الحارث علي حسن. He said, I'm going to complete this majlis that we have, inshallah, this blessed majlis, inshallah, this majlis in which we ask and pray to Allah to make it a majlis of light, of nur, and to make it a majlis of diya, which also is a type of light for Ahl Sunnah, and to make this majlis a majlis which is a thunderbolt, which is a cause of sorrow for the people of Bid'ah. He said, I want to complete this by making 4 points only. The first point is that we need to understand that this issue is a very dangerous issue, and that the one who is falling into it and he is making it his business to be a part of it, he is a person who is between disbelief himself and between oppression as well as fifth, which is evil. And when we talk about this issue, I want you people to understand that when we talk about it and the way we talk about it, we're not saying the things that we're saying in an attempt to try to defend the taghut or the oppressor, nor are we trying to say what we're saying in an attempt to give an excuse and to rationalize the behavior and the actions of a fasiq. Nor are we trying to make you think that it's okay these crimes that some of these people are making, these men who is a fajr. This is not why we're saying this. He said, but what we coming here to do, the reason why we say what we say and we've taken the position that we've taken and we understand what we understand, is because of A, we're only talking about it this way because we're explaining the truth without going beyond the bounds of the truth. He said, number two, because this issue itself is an issue in which it has been the cause of much destruction and much sorrow and many, many problems and catastrophes that have befallen the Muslims. And it has caused the Dawah and the Muslims to go back years and years and to redo and undo the efforts that were already realized by the people who went before. Anyone who understands our intention is other than what I've just put forth, then all I can do is make dua for you. All I can do is ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to take you off of your hawa and to help you to be a person of sincerity. And if Allah chooses, He gives you that guidance of my dua. And if He doesn't choose, then I ask Allah to do with you what He sees as being the most appropriate. That's the first thing. The second point of the four points that I want to make in closing off is that I want to mention to you the statement of Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala in the book that he wrote called Ar-Ruh, or the soul. He wrote a book about the soul, and he said that the hukum or the ruling is of three types. Al-hukum or the ruling is divided into three types. There are three types of ruling. The first hukum is the hukum that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent down, and it is the hukum of Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said that this rule or this hukum is sawab, and there is no doubt that it is correct. This is the ruling that is correct, and there is no doubt that it's not correct. The second type of hukum is the ruling which is mu'awwal. Mu'awwal means what? A man comes, as the Shaykh went on to say, it is the ruling of the imam, or an imam, or a mujtahid. This ruling is susceptible to being correct as well as to being incorrect. The man who gets it right, his ta'wil is correct, he'll get two rewards. And the one whose ta'wil is wrong, he'll get one reward. So the second ruling is the ruling of the hukum that is mu'awwal. It comes with a ta'wil. Maybe he's right, maybe he's wrong. The sixth or the third and final ruling, and we're talking about the second point of the four points that the Shaykh wanted to talk about. The third type of ruling concerning this second point, which is the statement of Ibn Qayyim in his book Ar-Ruh, is the hukum that is mubaddal, the ruling that has been changed around. There's a ruling that is correct. Someone came and took that ruling and changed it around totally. The Shaykh went on to say, this is the ruling that is not what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed. So the Shaykh Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala said in his book concerning this third type of ruling, he said that the ruling that is mubaddal, that has been changed around, the ruling of Allah is well known, someone comes and he changes around. He said that this ruling that is mubaddal, there are three descriptions of the, it can be zul or it can be fisk. The one who came and changed it, he can be a disbeliever, or he can be a zalim, or he can be a fasik. One of those three. The Shaykh went on to say, look at this tremendous statement of this imam. If anybody wants to go back and study the issue, you can study his statement. And this is what we're telling the people, that these ayat that they are using, do not imply and mean what they are saying. The third point of the four points that the Shaykh wanted to talk about is that he wants to discuss now and mention to you the statement of Al-Imam Abu Hatim Ar-Razi. Abu Hatim Ar-Razi rahmatullahi alayhi, who was one of the tremendous imams of the Salaf and of the Sunnah and of the Hadith. This man said, verily, one of the signs of the people of innovation is that they accuse and they speak unfavorably about the people of the Asr, the people who are on the Sunnah and who are on the way of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. One of the ways that you can identify the people of deviance is when you see them speaking unfavorably about the scholars and about the people of the Asr. The Shaykh said that these people who we're dealing with now,
We know that they hate the truth that we're saying. And we know that they hate what we're trying to put across, because what we're saying is supported by the evidences. And what they're saying is supported only by emotions and vague statements and vain statements. So what do they say about the scholars who have just said what I just said? And the people who are teaching and educating the people to what I'm just telling you, they say about them, wallahi, I'm going to tell you what the Sheikh said is true, because we witness it right here in Brixton. They say those people are murji'ah, and those people love the hukam, and those people love the rulers of these oppressive rulers. These are the vain claims and statements that they hurl, abuse upon abuse, towards the people of the ether. So let us pay attention to the statement of Al-Imam Abu Hatim Al-Razi. The Shaykh went on to say, we know the haq, we know the truth, alhamdulillah. And we are not going to intentionally go outside and leave the statements of those righteous, illustrious, respected imams of the past and the ulama of today, the ones who are well known and the ones who we trust in them and in their understanding. And these scholars of today and of yesterday, no matter how much knowledge he has, or no matter how little the knowledge they think he has, he by himself and alone, he is an imam who can be taken from and benefited by. They are the ones who establish for the people their religion, and they establish for the people principles and rules, and they give them indications and guidance to help them. They are the ones who are the protectors and the preservers of the religion. Whereas when you come to the people, these people who are hurling the abuses upon them, if you were to take the issue of al-irja, they accuse some of the scholars of being murji'a. If you were to take the issue of al-irja, and you were to begin to discuss with these people who claim that our scholars are murji'a, if you were to begin to discuss the principles of irja, and the rules and the regulations of the irja, and the belief systems of the irja, as well as the defined... He said that you will find that these very people don't know what they're talking about, number one, and number two, they themselves, in many instances, will be falling into that description, and they will be the reciprocants of their own criticism. There's another point that I want to mention, and this is still with the third point, it's not the last point. There's another point that I want to mention concerning this, and that is that these people who are making these claims, they are making these claims from where? From towers. He said that they are making claims from towers that are built upon high, far, far away from the real jihad. You always find them coming to the place where the kuffar is, where they are maxing and relaxing and enjoying the money of the kuffar and the food of the kuffar and the drink of the kuffar and dressing like the kuffar. In my opinion, they have run away from the battlefield. They are the ones who have forsaken the battlefield, and they have run away to safety and to the sanctuary of the disbelievers. I say to them, if in fact you are brave and you are true and sincere about what you're saying, then come back, meaning go back to the Muslim land. Then come back to the land of the battlefield. Your speech, all it is ink on a piece of paper. It's only ink on a piece of paper. And you will die while you're living, just as those people who have already died were dead while they were living. The last point that I want to make, the very last point, is that I realize that these people are people who
rally around certain shubahat and ishkalat. Shubahat are those issues that are ambiguous and they're not clear. And the ishkalat are those issues that you may have the tendency of understanding them the wrong way. So these shubahat, what they do is, they come to this country and they come around young brothers, the shabab, who are weak, who don't themselves know a lot about real Islam, the knowledge of al-Islam, people who have good hearts, but they have not really been introduced to the sciences of al-Islam. They don't really know what and how to make decisions. They have not been blessed with the tools and the utensils which will allow them to weigh the statements of people and to weigh the ideas of people to come out with the proper results. He said that these shubahat, they are well known. They are well known to the real students of knowledge, not to mention the scholars. One of those shubahat, one of those issues that these people use to mesmerize the young brothers, is some statement that they find here and there that have been recorded from some of the scholars of al-Islam. Like the Imam Muhammad Ibrahim, or like al-Imam Ahmed Shatir, or like al-Imam Ibn Baz and Ibn Uthaymeen. They'll find a statement by these imams over here, over there, in this book or that book. Then they come back and they say, look what the imam said. The Sheikh Walanda said, and when you actually look and you study the statements of these imams are talking about what? Any time they talked about these issues, you would see them giving general descriptions and not specific descriptions, explaining the general rule of the person who does this and that. Another thing is, they do not say that the action, they are not talking about the person who does the action. They are talking about the action itself. So how are they going to use that in order to support and say, look what Imam so-and-so said, when in fact he's talking about something else? Another shubahat, or one of these statements or issues that these people use, was something that honestly I'm not even going to try to translate because I lost the flow of the Sheikh's chain of thought. So I just can promise you people that inshallah will listen to the tape. Anybody wants it, maybe we'll get it typed up or something. But we do promise you, you're going to get the second one. The third one is the shubha of al-istibdal. Al-istibdal is similar to the statement of what al-Imam ibn Qayyim said, where you change it around. So what they say is, or the Shaykh said, Yahamakallah. He said, it's every single person. He said, you need to understand that every single person who disobeys Allah, he is making istibdal. And again, istibdal is to change something. He said, everyone who makes a mistake and who sins, he's making istibdal. For an example, the one who goes and drinks a drink that is pure, good, and halal, and then he forsakes that, and then he goes and he changes that. He turns that upside down and he drinks a drink which is haram like khamr. He has made istibdal. Do you say that that man, simply because he changed this for that, automatically he goes outside of al-Islam? Likewise, the one who was ruling, he may change this for that, but you can't just say that he goes outside of al-Islam until you establish the argument upon him. These people, in fact, are like, they are only chicks. Small chick, small babies of their father, Dhu Khuwaisirah, who was the man that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that the Khawarij was going to come from his loins, when he grabbed the Prophet by his collar and said, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, hey Muhammad, give me some more money. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave the man some more money, the man went away. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, there's going to be a group of people who come out of that man's loins, they will go in and out of the religion, just like the arrow goes in and out of the game. The Sheikh said the people who are making these claims are the afrakh, or the chicks, or the children of
ذو خويسرة التميمي. Finally, Ikhwan, the Sheikh said the last point that they hold on to, that they come to the young brothers and they try to fool the young brothers and mesmerize them with, is that they try to say that there is a difference. They always hold on to this fact that there is a difference between the evil or the mafia and the taqleel, which is a person minimizing the evil. He said all these people have to do is read about the salateen or the sultans of the old Muslims. From the time of Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Muawiyah ibn Abi Sufyan radiallahu ta'ala anhuma, until today. If you will see that these people, when you talk to them, they do not know anything about their history. Because if they read about what these men used to do and how the response was of the scholars of Al-Islam and the Muslims of that time, they would not be able to fool the people with it. So I encourage these people to come back. To come back to their sisters, because the situation is not as you were saying. These statements that you were screaming about and these vague, empty slogans that you are throwing around and that you are taking from here and from there, they have no benefit whatsoever. Not to you and not to other than you, not in this life and not in the next life. He went on to say that there is a book or a risala, a small treatise that was prepared by the Imam Muhammad Ibrahim rahimullah ta'ala. He called this book Tahkim al-Qawaneen, and he talked about the ruling of us using these people's judicial system to come to conclusions. He wrote about that. He said that these people in this book, they always use some of the general statements of the Sheikh Muhammad Ibrahim rahimahullah, in which he was very hard on the people who judge by other than what Allah revealed. They always use his statement as support. Look what Muhammad Ibrahim said, look what he said over here, look what he said over here. Not knowing that A, Muhammad Ibrahim was making a general statement describing a condition and not talking about people specifically. And B, if you were to see the last speech that he wrote, where he wrote it in six different places in detail, where he talked specifically and he mentioned specifically names and examples, like in his book, Al-Fatawa, never would these people be able to use his statements in his book, Tahkim al-Qawaneen, as an argument to be introduced to the young brothers to fool them into mesmerizing. He said, our Shaykh Ibn Baz, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give him light and life, the Shaykh said, it was said to him, and we're finished right here, it was said to him, what is your opinion, Shaykh, about the person who said, I've read the statement of the Shaykh Muhammad Ibrahim in his book Tahkim al-Qawaneen, and based upon his statement, I'm going to say so-and-so is a kafir. He said that the Sheikh went on to say, Muhammad Ibrahim is a human being, and Ibn Qayyim is a human being, and Ibn Taymiyyah is a human being, rahimahumullah ta'ala. Don't look at what they say, nor at what they do, but look at the proof that they present. And I doubt that this person has any knowledge. Finally, the Sheikh said to us, Ikhwan, this is the way these people are. These people take whatever they want when it's for them, and they leave whatever they want when it is against them. When it is in accordance to their desires and their hawa and their nafs, you will see them being the first people to grasp that thing and to hold on to it. Like the famous Imam of the Quran and the Sunnah said, Al-Imam Ad-Dharqutni, rahimahullahu ta'ala, when he brought the narration of that tremendous Imam Waqir ibn Jarrah rahimahullah ta'ala, this Imam Waqir ibn Jarrah rahmatullahi alayhi, he said, the people of the truth, Ahlul Haq, the people of the truth are those people who, when the truth is with them, they take it. And when the truth is against them, they take it. And the people of falsehood, are those people who, when the truth is with them, they gladly take it. And when the truth is against them, they reject it. He went on to say, this is enough to hear what we said today. This is enough as a proof against them. And we cannot help those people who do not think, who not use the intellect in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given them. This mind in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given all of us. We're going to be questioned for it. Our speech won't help them, nor would the speech of the big ones from amongst us, meaning the scholars and the people who are presented us. All we can do, ikhwan, is make supplication for those people and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to guide them and to increase us in our guidance. And then the Shaykh went on to make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The last thing, ikhwan, is a note has come to me which says that outside right now you have some brothers, our Muslim brothers, handing out leaflets. And I think this is like hot tamales, or, you know, whenever there's a product that is strange, people run for it. So with that being the case, we want to just make it clear that Abu Fatwa, that's one of the brothers who we've been trying for a long time to tell him, don't be emotional, calm down, listen to what we're saying. We've been trying to give him dawah for a long time. He's handing out some leaflets as the magazines are being handed out. And these are the brothers who claim that they're being calling to jihad. This talk was about them. This talk was about them and what they believe. And I've taken this position here, this microphone, and I've officially warned the people, stay away from Facebook. And I officially warned the people to stay away from Abu Qatada. Officially, I warned them. And that's our position. And we tried in the past over and over and over to get them to come, not with us, but with the people who really are qualified. But all we used to see from them was arrogance and ignorance and emotionalism. So no matter what you try to be kind, whatever you try to be kind, to be nice, to take it easy, to invite them, whatever, you always find that the people are just really over and over rejected. So all I can say is today, alhamdulillah, I met some brothers who, before they stopped me at the police station, and they were telling me that jihad, based upon this hadith that the Sheikh mentioned today, they were telling me that jihad was more important than everything, because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, وَذُرُّتُ سَنَانِهِ الْجِهَادِ, the highest, the peak of the matter is the jihad. That was about last year. Three brothers. Yesterday I saw, mashallah, one of those brothers, he came up to me and he said, he put his hand on my chest and he said, Abu Usama, Allah has blessed and guided me, and now I have left that nonsense. Wallahi, we used to make dua for that brother, and we also make dua for these other people. So, those magazines are not supported by us, so if you get them, do not think that it's something that we are about.
Jazakumullah khairan. In 5 minutes we're going to play Asr. In 5 minutes we're going to play Asr. So, suppose we've got some time to make wudu. Jazakumullah khairan.